Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Folks, I am here with a very special person. I am thrilled for this. Dr. Janice Supley, how are you doing today?
Doing really well. Good to be with you, Carrie.
I got so excited. I just started chatting with you for 15 minutes, like just like that. And Tanisha's so gracious. She's like, you guys got to go live. So we are talking about a very important topic today, which is, should entrepreneurs go to undergrad and grad school? I think I know the answer, but you've been in higher education for a while. Can you give us a little background, first of all, so we know, and then we'll dive into this?
Yeah, so I've been at Cedarville University for nearly 28 years. In October, it'll be 28 years.
Wow.
And I just have such an appreciation for the impact that education has in students' lives, whether it's at the undergraduate level or the graduate level. And so I'm really excited to talk to you about this because I think there's some misperceptions in the marketplace around entrepreneurship and education. And I don't see them as mutually exclusive. I really see them as mutually beneficial. And so
That's so good. That's so good. So don't mind me. I might, throughout the talk here, I might be blowing up marketing because, you know, you and I geek out on marketing. I mean, we love this stuff. So, but that is interesting that you are into marketing because
I am,
you know, maybe higher academics, that kind of seems like polar opposite. So maybe tell us that. We want to learn a little bit about you.
Okay.
Give us the trajectory of kind of your career, because I think that'll help us appreciate higher ed too. And then I'm going to blow this up and share it a bunch of places. Okay.
Sure. So I actually graduated from Cedarville University back in the 1980s. And had what I thought was the plan for my life, and God had a completely different plan for my life. And so I had a communications degree. We moved to Dallas, Texas, and I worked in corporate real estate primarily in the early part of my career. And I worked in the marketing and communications area. And then I did some work in printing. And it's just interesting how God uses your different experiences.
Oh, yeah.
He brings all of those together. So in 1995, my husband and I moved back to Cedarville. Both of us are Cedarville grads. And I started in the admissions office where I had worked in college and actually in high school as well. Yeah. And I gave tours and I entered, you know, information into a database. But I really grew to love higher education and the way that it changes people's lives. And so I thought I'd be at Cedarville for 2 years. And like I said earlier, I've been here 28 years. In the late 90s, I decided it was a good time to go back and get some additional education. So I earned my MBA from Wright State University here in the Dayton, Ohio area.
Nice.
And then about 10 years later, I realized, you know what, I want to take another step. And so for me, that was a doctorate. And so I earned my PhD at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Incredible. Stretching experience. They were one of the early innovators in online education. And so I was in an online program, but I made a commitment to go out there once a semester, once a term. And that's where I did all my writing and research. And I graduated with my PhD in 2014. And I've continued to work at Cedarville. I oversee the graduate school now. And then I'm also the vice president for marketing and communications.
So listen, I'm just going to hit the elephant in the room right now. Okay. So, I know within some Christian circles, women are often not elevated to high level leadership positions. And I think that's super unfortunate because, you know, I think just women are fantastic leaders. But did you have to push through anything? Or, you know, I mean, you're like, are you the only female right now on the presidential cabinet?
Right now, I'm the only female in the president's cabinet.
But that's amazing. I love it. And so I think, first of all, amazing. But you started in the admissions, and now here you're on one of the most influential roles. Besides God opening doors, you know, as we look at scripture, we see Esther, we see Ruth, we see, you know, Priscilla and Aquila, you know, the combo, Phoebe, these amazing women. But let's talk about that briefly. Women entrepreneurs, do you think females have a big contribution to make?
Oh, I do. I would say in my career, the way that doors have opened up, I didn't come in with this, you know, 20-year career plan, and this is where I want to be in 20 years. I think the key is when there are opportunities, or I just taught on this morning in my class, when there are challenges and problems that need to be solved, be willing to step in and be the person who's going to help find the solutions. And so I've done some reading, a book that's been influential in my mind. Books, you don't always agree with every point, right?
Yeah.
The book, The Female Vision, has been really impactful in my mind in terms of women think differently, and they bring something to a leadership team that is incredibly important to have as part of that team. We tend to do things a little bit more holistically. And so we can kind of see how things are interconnected, and one decision that you make may affect other decisions. So we tend to be more people and relational. Now, obviously, every person is different, and I hate
we're talking stereotypes. Sure, sure.
But I think there's some real valuable things that women bring to the equation. The other book that's been really impactful to me, and again, it's not like I agree with everything in the book, but Lean In by Sheryl Sandberg.
Oh, yeah.
Which really talks about how oftentimes, you know, we hear a lot about, oh, it's a glass ceiling or whatever, women can't push through. But her perspective is that oftentimes women actually take themselves out of consideration, and she uses the idea of a conference room. And if you go into a conference room, the men are going to sit right at that table, and they're immediately going to engage and provide ideas, even if they're not qualified to do so. Whereas the room, and I don't say that with any negative at all,
right?
Women in the room naturally are going to take the seats around the room. Like, they're not going to be right up at the table. And so that's been really helpful for me to think through, okay, like you mentioned, Esther, when the Lord opens an opportunity, am I going to shrink back, or am I going to lean in and take advantage of that opportunity that God has put in front of me?
Oh, yeah.
So that's been really helpful in thinking through just my own growth. But really, the Lord's opened so many doors, and I'm just thankful for the
privilege. Well, you know, we'll close the loop on this here in a moment, but this is so good. The president of my company is a woman.
So I love that.
Yeah. So Sarah Grandstaff is amazing. We talk every single day, and there's most of the people in my company are women. So, you know, we have a few guys and all that, but I've never had an issue that I know of working with women. I have a very strong wife. I'm in her office right now. She's a female counselor, two daughters, a son, you know, but my mom was a real, and still is, she's a fireball, you know, and she would go down to these Mardi Gras, you know, parties, and she would hold up signs that say, you know, free hugs, and she would start the gospel talks. Like,
I love that.
Unbelievable. And she ran a Christian adoption agency. So I think women are, you know, if they're not using their gifts in the right context, I think it's actually hurting the church and hurting entrepreneurship. What do you think about that?
I think God created men and women with abilities and skills and insights, and we are stronger when we're working together. Mm. You mentioned briefly, can women be entrepreneurs? And I think, you know, for women who want to balance life, they want to balance family, they want to balance church and kids being in school and all of those types of things, I think an entrepreneurial endeavor really opens some incredible doors to be a little bit more in control of your time and manage your schedule. So I think there's some incredible opportunities for women to think about entrepreneurship, and don't be afraid of it, right? But just think about the opportunities where it's a good fit for you, the ideas that you have, and where you can really excel.
So let's jump into, by the way, we got a lot of comments. Everybody keep sharing. Let us know where you're from. Let us know what you think. Because this is a live podcast that, yes, will be then broadcasted on recording all over, but it's fun recording live because we can't edit it.
So you get the good and the ugly.
Oh, yeah. No, listen, it's funny because whenever people hop on my podcast, they're like, are we going to edit? I'm like, no, we're not going to edit it. it takes too much time. I'm an entrepreneur. Like, let's roll, you know? So let's talk about that, though, because someone, I won't say who, but someone, when they interviewed me at Cedarville, they said, hey, before we hire you, I thought entrepreneurs don't like college. They're dropouts. Why should we hire you if you're, you know, working with a group of people who don't like college stereotypically? Mm-hmm. And I had an answer, and I can share my answer. I mean, it wasn't amazing, but I'd love to hear what you think about that.
Well, I think a lot of that stereotype comes from popular media. Really famous entrepreneurs that, for whatever reason, they dropped out of college, they did this major invention in their garage, and suddenly we have this idea that, well, to be an entrepreneur, you don't go to college, you just have this great idea and you put it forward. But I would guess if you were to survey all the entrepreneurs in the world, most of them have higher education, because higher education is really, it's not just about learning a specific skill. It's really about expanding your mind to be able to think critically, broadly, in depth. And you think about an entrepreneur, they're dealing with problems and challenges every single day. And they're not just coming up with a new idea. You've got to manage a business, right, Carrie?
Yes, people,
right?
Yeah.
So education helps us to be able to do that wisely. And so I think there's probably some misperceptions in the marketplace.
Sure.
If we're live, I'm going to reject my phone.
Yeah, I guess.
That I'm going to do not disturb. Sorry about that.
All good.
But since there's some misperceptions in the marketplace, people don't realize just how valuable, and really entrepreneurs need education. It's not an either or.
I love that. I'm actually posting right now on Instagram your exact quote. So we make this happen. So I do agree with you. In fact, there is a great book called E-Leap, The Entrepreneur Leap, by Gina Wickman. He didn't go to college. He interviewed a lot of successful entrepreneurs and said, are entrepreneurs more likely to be successful if they go to college? And his findings were yes. And it wasn't necessarily the degree, but it was exactly what you're saying. It was the interdisciplinary exposure, so that when they do invent or when they do go to market, they can put, it's called lateral pattern recognition. So it's like, oh, why is Uber successful? Because we can connect GPS to app to pay. Like, you see patterns because you've had exposure to Gen Ed and this type of thing. And then it was also the relationships.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep. Yeah. So talk about that. Talk about that if you don't mind.
Yeah. You think about your college or graduate school experience. Those people often are the ones who are going to shape your professional trajectory. So they're going to introduce you to people. You know, let's say you grew up in Ohio. Suddenly you're meeting people from Colorado and California and around.
That's interesting.
And so your network is now at a completely different level than it was when you entered that undergraduate or graduate experience.
For sure.
And I think that's incredibly valuable. Also, people have different ideas, right? And so iron sharpens iron. And so you may have this idea and someone else says, well, what if we, you know, approached it this way, or boy, that could be this market that you hadn't even thought about. And I think the college graduate experience allows that idea sharing in a way that you don't always get when you're just alone working on your idea.
That's so good. Let's talk about Q. Q stands for Cedarville University Entrepreneurship. And why do you think, I don't know, you've been at Cedarville a long time, which is awesome. Why do you think entrepreneurship is right for Cedarville? Why do you think Q is integral meaning that it's across all disciplines, not just this little, hey, 4% of the population are startups and venture capitalists. Why do you see Cedarville for such a time as this poised for entrepreneurship and then that multidisciplinary thought?
Well, when I think about Cedarville, we are developing servant leaders, students who want to use their job for kingdom impact, and they want to be excellent at what they do. And we have disciplines where you tend to have a lot of innovation and ideas and things coming out. So, for example, our engineering program, students are geared toward thinking about how do we solve problems? How do we do things in a new way? And so I think it's a perfect fit because one, we want our students to have a kingdom mindset, and people who own businesses or starting businesses have the opportunity for influence in their business, but they also have opportunities for influence in our culture. I just watched a presentation by Earl Seals, who I've, you know, Carrie, who's an entrepreneur,
He's been on the podcast. That's a
and
few
on
hours.
the podcast. And he sent me a recent presentation that he made to his company at, I
I
think,
watched it
a retreat or something. Did you watch it? I watched it too.
with his with the young gal from Uganda who was taken for child sacrifice.
Peter, her dad. So think of the platform he had with his own employees and then beyond his business to be able to have a platform for the gospel and the opportunity to talk about his faith. And he's credible, right? Because people have watched him as a leader. They have watched him go through, in that case, he was talking about his mom's passing away. Watched him walk that road. Think how many people in that who work for him are going through similar experiences. And so I think it opens incredible doors. And then you think about the funding side of it. So much of missions and church ministry relies on the generosity of God's people, and entrepreneurs have an opportunity to contribute and give in that way as well. So when I think about what Cedarville's about and our mission of transforming lives through excellent education and intentional discipleship, entrepreneurship is a piece of that, and it can be part of every single program, whether it's music, engineering, healthcare. Wow, do we need innovation in the healthcare space? We're just getting ready. We're working right now on introducing a new MA in innovation with a healthcare innovation track. Because, and what I love about it is it's going to be interdisciplinary. So our business team is working directly with the team. And that's the way the world works now. People are working in teams. And so I think entrepreneurship is such a great fit for Cedarville at multiple levels.
I love it. Tanisha, I'm going to ask you to tag a few people. Obviously, we just mentioned ELEAP, Gina Wickman. So tag EOS Worldwide and Gina Wickman. Also, Earl Seals. And if you can also drop in, Tanisha, the Earl Seals episode. It was a few back, but it was amazing. And remember, everyone, he's the co-producer of the Chosen series. How amazing is that? That an entrepreneur gets the privilege of giving finances to fund the Chosen, which is now going all over the world. Well, let's tag Chosen, Earl Seals, and then Christian Business Fellowship is he started that for all kinds of entrepreneurs. Let's talk about this, and then we'll go into grad school, and I'll actually bring up the grad school website, and you can talk us through it. But I really believe that Dr. White is entrepreneurial.
Oh, he is.
I mean, when I went to the new faculty training, maybe people have heard him too much and they're just chilling, but I was like, yes, you know. And I think a lot of people actually were in the audience pretty amped too, but I love a visionary, fiery leader. And definitely Tanisha, tag Dr. White, because I want him to see this. But why do you think he, as a university president, is entrepreneurial?
Well, I think it starts with mission. He really believes that we're not just in this business to, generate enough money to, get by to the next year, right? He really sees Cedarville University as an incredible asset for the kingdom. So, how do we maximize our influence? how do we maximize it in the lives of our students? How do we maximize it programmatically? How do we maximize it through the global missions that we're involved with? And so I think when you have that missional mindset, always thinking about, okay, how can we advance the gospel? How can we advance the kingdom through Cedarville University? You're not going to be afraid to take some calculated risks, to try some new things. You're not even going to be afraid to grow. You know, we don't want to have a mindset of, well, we just want to keep it tight here. We want to have a mindset of growth, because that's really the kingdom, right? We want it to grow. And so I think that drives him. And then he started as an entrepreneur. Like, how many presidents of universities started out by starting their own business as a karate? He basically started a karate, what do you call it?
Martial arts. Yeah.
Martial arts, like,
Dojo, age, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so that's just kind of embedded in his DNA. And so he challenges the academic establishment, quote unquote. And I think this gets to innovation too, but innovation is about problem solving and realizing that we're facing challenges and we need to come up with solutions that are different. We can't do things the same way. And when Dr. White evaluates the higher ed landscape, I don't think he thinks it's going to be the same 25 years from now, the way it is now. We have to do things differently. We have to think differently. We have to educate differently. We have to be willing to try some new things, look at interdisciplinary approaches to education. So I think who he is, it's how God's wired him, but he certainly is doing that for the benefit of Cedarville and the benefit of the kingdom.
That's interesting. I do agree with that, because you do think of higher academics often as conserving.
Yeah.
You know, like we have to do things the same way. We have to protect, we have to guard. And these are the things that actually are the kiss of death for most organizations, is to basically say, yeah, we've had success, and so we're going to do the same thing forever and ever and ever and not adjust. When in reality, Cedarville, correct me if I'm wrong, has built 6 dorms the last 6 years or something like that.
Yep.
I mean, that's amazing. And they brought in Einstein Bagels and Panda. the leadership center, business center, Scharnberg Leadership and Business Center. So they're just exploding. Let's get into this grad school. Yep. I went to grad school. I'm so glad I did. I know some people go to grad school because they're not sure what's next, maybe. But I think, you know, what's the default? The default is to sit and stagnate. You know, I love learning and growing. What is the grad school all about? And what excites you right now about the grad school?
Yeah, so kind of like you, Carrie, I'm so thankful that I went to grad school.
Yeah.
And I would say my personal approach and what I love to tell people is grad school opens doors for you that may not open any other way. Mm. And it gets to that idea of connections. It gets to that idea of knowledge. There are things that I pull from my MBA probably every single day, things that I learned, practical skills. Mm. So Cedarville's approach to grad school I think it's distinctive and unique. So it begins with excellence. We want our graduates to receive an excellent education so that when they go out and represent Cedarville and they represent the Lord out in their workplace, they are known for being outstanding at what they do. So whether it's business or it's a degree in innovation or it's one of our doctoral or master's programs in nursing or one of our ministry programs, excellent education is a hallmark. The other side of that is we are very intentional about equipping professionals who say, you know what, this is the work that I do, but I want to use my work intentionally to advance the gospel. Mm. And that's the type of graduate student who chooses Cedarville, because yes, it's excellence, but it's also that kingdom impact piece. And so, like, I think about our pharmacy school. First of all, very few Christian universities are going to offer a doctor of pharmacy program. Very, very few. We're blessed by the high quality faculty that God's brought to us, the amazing facilities that are here. But really what sets our program apart is the fact that those pharmacists, when they graduate, are thinking about their patient is someone that they care about, not just physically, but spiritually. And they're meeting people at a point of need. And that training is part of becoming a pharmacist through Cedarville University. So it doesn't in any way downplay the academics. It doesn't downplay the fact you've got to pass a national licensure exam when you graduate. Mm. You're going to have that excellence, but you're going to have that value added piece of really understanding and thinking about how your career can make a difference for Christ. And that's across our graduate programs. And so I think that's what makes Cedarville's approach to graduate education very different. But that doesn't mean that we think we can be pie in the sky and people will just come our way. Programs are very affordable. We've done our best to make them very affordable. We have both online and residential options. The online programs for the entrepreneur or rising entrepreneur out there, you know, you can be working full time, taking one course every 7 weeks, which is very manageable, kind of fits with your life. Mm-hmm. And get your degree in 1, 2, or 3 years. And so a lot of flexibility built in along with affordability. And so we're finding students can be right out of college up to 40 or 50 years old. And they say, you know what, it's time for me to take a different approach. And
so I love it.
It's really cool.
So in our last 4 minutes here, I want to share that I don't think it's either or, you know, just to answer that question of should entrepreneurs do grad school, undergrad? So get this, I'm on campus Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Mm-hmm. And then I run my businesses, Tuesday, Thursday. And Sarah's running them the other days and, you know, I'm still involved. But I love coming to Cedarville on campus. It's amazing. You know, I leave early, I get my smoothie, wherever that is. And I show up and the sun's starting to rise. It's a beautiful campus. I pour into students. I mean, you know, the whole time I'm there, I'm doing social media too, because I'm into marketing and, you know, I love to tell the stories of the students. But then I go home and then I come and I crush it in business, you know, and my family life, love them. You know, my faith, love it. But it's a very full life. But I don't think that we have to have in this grad school, like, I'm just doing grad school or I'm just working. Like, I think the integration is actually amazing because what you learn in class on Monday, maybe even the same day you're applying.
Yep.
What do you think?
I think that's so true. I did a podcast a couple weeks ago with, it was called Momathon Diaries. Basically, Christina Garrett, she is a personal coach for women and helping them realize that you can do a lot more than you think you can do. We had such a great conversation. Mm. One of the examples that I would use is our lives very much are like a canning jar. And you think, okay, I put in my 5 big rocks and I can't do any more. But then you start adding smaller rocks and even pebbles that are smaller than that. And then you pour in water. And God has given us an incredible capacity to be able to do things for him and serve. Yeah. And so I would just encourage women and really anyone listening to the podcast is don't limit yourself. Like, you will be amazed. I added a PhD when my husband was working full time. I was working full time. I had a son who was like in, I don't know, middle school age. Yeah. And it's day by day. You make sacrifices and commitments, but you can do it. And you'll be so gratified when you're finished and you walk across that stage and realize you accomplished that goal. And it really is a goal.
I love it. And those big rock analogies, sometimes we take what's in our jar and a big rock goes away. Like, there's times where we actually eliminate certain priorities that were for a season, and now it opens up this big opportunity as well. Well, Janice, this has been
I'm sorry, sometimes grad school is the big rock for a season, and that's okay.
I agree. Yeah. And I love this quick confession. I love the church, I love being a pastor, but it was the university as a young person where I stepped on and felt the most life. Mm, you know what I'm saying? Yep. It is like it's a place of ideas. You saw it with the pitch last Friday. I mean, it's a place of exploding life and choices, and people are making lifetime huge decisions. And I love the bride of Christ, the church. And I feel like I'm supposed to have a foot in the marketplace and a foot in the university. I love that you've allowed me to be at Cedarville. So thank you. And I know this podcast is going to reach a lot of people.
My privilege. Thanks, Gary, for all you're doing.
All right. Take care, folks. And I highly encourage you to go to cedarville.edu. Check out their undergrad, their grad. It's a place that's on fire. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Kerry Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.